How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, as Scott picks up the headphones that I dropped on the floor. But the show has begun. So today we're going to start by talking off some football, as per usual. I don't know that there's a whole lot to talk about, really. But I wanted to touch on a couple of the stories from last week that, we talked about. Joe Burrow is in Cincinnati. Joe Flacco, I guess, has done considerably well since moving to Cincinnati. So up to this point, he has 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and 561 yards in Cincinnati, which over 2 games, by the way, which is better than the 4 games he played as the Browns quarterback for 815 yards, 2 TDs, 6 interceptions. But he's also got, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. You know, he's got people to throw the ball to over there, specifically those two. He's got other people, I guess, but those are the main ones. But Joe Flacco's doing well. Good for him. I hope he wins a Super Bowl before he already has, I guess, but I hope he wins another one before he retires for the second time. Cam Scadavo and Jackson Dart leading every hit with their heads. Terrible choices. You're going to end up with, you know, CTE, like a lot of people. I mean, like Antonio Brown. There's been claim. I mean, you can't know until somebody passes away. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can really do about it. It's just repeated trauma to the head. Which is why the repetitive using your head as a weapon does not work well. And also, I'm pretty sure that's a penalty in the NFL. It's called like sparring because you're using your head as a weapon, or spearing, not sparring. But yeah. The Dolphins are gonna stick with Tua. They did are sticking with Tua, but they did end up playing Quinn Ewers a little bit in the game against the Browns, which, by the way, it's really, and you know, it's kind of messed up if you think about it. The Browns have won 2 games this year. Okay, I have gone to 2 NFL games this year, and both of them were the games that the Browns won. They beat the Packers when I went, and nobody thought that was going to happen. And then they beat the Dolphins, which, you know, there was a conclusion that might happen. But they beat the Dolphins handedly. I'm starting to think maybe I should be a Browns fan. You know, I'd go to the Browns games and maybe they'll go to the Super Bowl. So, nonetheless, I mean, the Browns have done not a lot, all in all. But, I think that they should, the Dolphins being, they should definitely start Quinn Ewers at this point. They decided to stick with Tua, like I said, but Tua's not a leader, in my opinion. But there's really not much else to say there. But yes, so there are, 1 second here, I wanted to find this. Okay. Oh, by the way, on October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m., there will be a kids' night out at Kroger Eastland Town Center. That'd be 95. Like I said, 5 to 7, you know, there'll be fun games and prizes. And they're going to be collecting coats, hats, and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army for the wintertime. So be sure to go to that. I'm sure it's going to be fun. Yeah, I think it's, you know, they've had growing participation every year, so that's good. But yeah, so the government shutdown has continued on, and we are now, relatively deep into it. And the Pentagon has accepted a $130 million donation to help troops, to help pay for troops, to help pay troops' salary. Yeah. I don't know if, good for them, I guess, the troops are getting paid, but I don't know that, you know, accepting private donations for things at the national level is really good. you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, like, a lot of shows and whatnot that have sponsors, if you don't do what the sponsor wants, they're going to pull their money because they're allowed to do that because, you know, they don't want their money associated with whatever you're doing. So they have probably an undue amount of influence, which I would assume you're not just giving $130 million to the federal government for nothing. I don't think you're just doing it out of the kindness of your heart, or so the troops can get paid. But I'm interested to know who, I don't know if we'll ever find out, but I would be interested to know who paid that $130 million. I assume a collection of people, but I'm not really sure. But it does, you know, I mean, it's interesting nonetheless. I don't even know. Because he also, Donald Trump has said that they're using private funds to help pay for the I don't know what you one of the ballroom, I guess, that they're building where the East Wing was. And I, you know, again, same concept as before. I don't know that using private donations for things on the federal level is good. It seems more like it's like bribery, but there's a middleman, so I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. Nonetheless, we are now, by the way, 20, I believe this will be 23 because it started on the 1st, so 23 days into the shutdown. The government has failed once again to, the government has failed once again to reopen and vote for the extension of the tax credits, which, by the way, they weren't voting to, like, fully fund the government. It was just another extension, I do believe, which would kick it back to January, which obviously not too far away, being October 24th, just a couple of months, 2 months. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I wonder who people, I mean, like I said, I haven't been able to find polls. I thought there were polls, but I haven't been able to find them. But, for the government shutdown, I don't know who people are blaming more. Well, I found a poll, but I don't really know. So, I don't know. But, oh, I found an AP poll. So, let's see here. As the government shutdown drags on, yada, 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 AP, NORC. Roughly 6 in 10 Americans say President Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress have a great deal or quite a bit of responsibility for the shutdown, while 54% say the same about Democrats in Congress, according to the poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. At least 3/4 of Americans believe each deserves at least a moderate share of blame, underscoring that no one is successfully evading responsibility. That's about what I expected. I mean, that's about how I feel, for the sheer fact that, I mean, not really about how I feel. I mean, I think that, I mean, the Republicans have the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. I mean, if they wanted it to be open, all they had to do was you know, compromise, but they have seemed to be unwilling to, so I don't really know what to do about that. But compromise used to be a good thing. Well, I guess it still is a good thing. People just don't do it anymore. But I don't know. I think that the compromising would go well. Should people actually do it? But like I said, the government shutdown vote had, well, I guess the funding to the vote to fund the government has failed again. So the shutdown continues, but the military is getting paid, I suppose, which is a plus side. Yeah. Also, I had read today that apparently it's Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz says Trump has a plan to replace Obamacare. I'd be interested to see what that is, should there be a plan to replace Obamacare. I know that during the, I do believe it was the primary, Donald Trump had said that he had concepts of a plan to replace it, which he apparently, according to Dr. Oz, now does. So I don't know really how that costs, or sorry, how that whole thing is going to work out. But allegedly there's plans there, so we don't know what's going to happen. I think that if there are plans, then perhaps, if we're lucky, there might be gosh, I can't think of the word for some reason. There might be a compromise. But I do think it's rather interesting that the Senate still gets paid. Well, not the Senate as a whole, just Congress, I guess, in general, gets paid with the government being shut down. I figure that they would have a lot more incentive to get the government back open, as does everybody else, should they not get paid like everybody else. But I guess, well, I don't know. I mean, if you're getting paid, I mean, you're not really hurting at all. So I guess you're not in any real hurry. You could just go away for the weekend and then come back, and you know, you still got a paycheck. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like they should at least put a little more pep in their step when trying to get it all figured out, but I don't know that they will. It looks like we're heading towards at this point, it looks like we're heading towards the longest shutdown in the government's history. Just because I've seen no, I mean, it's been, the votes have all been the same. Marjorie Taylor Greene votes against the Republicans, or votes, I don't know, votes nay on the bill. And John Fetterman, for some reason he's the only name I can remember is Fetterman. But there's two Democrats and an independent voting alongside of, in order to extend the ACA tax credit, I'm pretty sure is what it is. There's been no real change, which is why I think that, you know, we're probably heading towards the longest shutdown. But, I don't know how long the whole thing can keep going. Speaking of, I don't know how long, if Tim Ryan is going to get into this gubernatorial race here in Ohio, he can hold out. Because, I mean, I understand we talk about this every week, but, you know, it's been like 3 weeks now. So, I don't know what you really do about that, seeing as the longer you wait, the less of a chance you have to fundraise and the less of a chance you have to campaign, and you have to win the primary, I guess, against Amy Acton, who's already been running for the last, year or so. It's a rough spot to be in for Tim Ryan. I think that he probably wants to. Otherwise, he probably would have just said that he didn't want to, because it wouldn't matter if people realized that he said it or not. The only thing you'd want your announcement to not get smothered by the news is that you are running. So that's my logic there, at least. Yes, the shutdown. Sorry, I forgot how I even got on the topic of Tim Ryan. Been a long day. But yeah, so there's been no real movement there. Like I said, the votes have been the same every time. So I don't know exactly what to do, or what they're going to do, I suppose, about that. I know that recently we had heard that starting November 1st, payments, should the government not be open back up for SNAP, I do believe that's going to be EBT and WIC, are, I guess, getting put on hold until the government reopens. So, I mean, I think that's obviously going to hurt people a lot. I mean, should they get rid of, not get rid of, but put on pause EBT, and Wick and things like that. I mean, people aren't going to stop eating, obviously. You have to eat. But, I mean, people will probably stop buying food at the grocery store so much. People will probably start going to, like, the free dinners, like, churches hold free dinners and, you know, like, food pantries and things like that. You know, it wouldn't... Maybe we have soup kitchens. I forgot that that's a whole thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, those kinds of things exist. So, it wouldn't necessarily surprise me if those things started getting, you know, filled up. If people... I mean, people will require the monthly payments to live. There does seem to be some consensus that a lot of the people on, I don't know, I guess in this case it's specifically Medicare, or at least we have, or Medicaid, we have the actual statistics from Marion County here, from the Department of Medicare Enrolled Population, so, from the 2025 U.S. Census Bureau, as of, well, 2025, so this year, 21,841 Marion County residents receive health coverage thanks to Medicaid, which is 33.5% of the county's population. So, you know, literally just like over a third, you know, 33.3, I guess, or 3.4, I guess, depends on how you want to look at it. But anyways, so yeah, I mean, it's just over a third of Marion's population is on Medicaid, and they have the numbers broken down here: 2,852 5 and younger, 6 to 18, 6,303, 19 to 44, 7,038. That's the biggest group. 45 to 64, 4,005, and then 65 and older, 1,645. So I mean. To have a third of your population on Medicaid, which is about to get, you know, put on hold for, well, in the next week, what do you do when their rent and whatnot stops getting paid for, or their medicine and things? I don't know what they plan to do about that. But I guess they'll figure something out. Do you kick people out onto the streets? I don't think they would. I mean, I'd find it hard to believe that they would. But I guess if nobody's funding them, I'd find it hard to believe that the nursing home, retirement homes, whatever you want to refer to them, that they don't really want to pay out of pocket for them. There's also a thing. Nearly half of all Ohioans with Medicaid expansion work. Others are students, caretakers, or dealing with chronic health conditions. So, I mean, that's, you know, good. I guess. I don't know. I mean, like I said, in the morning show, I do believe it was, if a third of your population's on Medicare or Medicaid, that's a lot. So, I mean, if a third of them are on Medicaid, I mean, that's financial related, and if they're on something Medicaid financial related, I assume they're probably going to get WIC or food stamps. And should those get paused, like I said, I mean, the stores are certainly going to lose a lot of money. I mean, that's where, you know, you spend the WIC and the food stamps. And I think that the churches and food pantries are going to get, you know, very busy. Now, as far as the, I guess, remodeling of, I don't know what you want to call it, the remodeling, rebuilding, the construction, I don't know, of the ballroom, at the White House, I don't really understand, I guess, why it's necessary, but, I mean, I don't really understand why it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was necessary. I don't really see why it's worth being up in arms. I understand that he did it unilaterally, but I mean, I don't know. Also, it is kind of strange that, well, originally I think he said it was going to cost $250 million, maybe $230 million, I don't remember. But, after I think it was yesterday, maybe the night before, he was live, and he was talking about, how it was going to cost, like, $300,000, which, you know, just casually raised that the price went up another $50 million. I don't know. I mean, and then he's taken $260 million out of the... Oh. I want to say the Justice Department. I don't know that that's right. I don't remember where he got the $260 million from. But it's, you know, it doesn't look great. So I don't know what you really do about that. Also, we talked the last, I think it was last hour. The hours kind of blend together. But we talked the last hour about how whether or not you should, I guess, campaign on national problems locally. I understand, I guess, to the extent that it's, you know, down ticket vote. But, I mean, I don't really understand the logic of voting for someone because they believe the same things that I do about national politics. I mean, you don't have a say in national politics on a local level of government. You have, like, you know, pothole street signs, zoning codes, and, I don't know, regulation. That kind of thing. It's not the same thing. You get to deal more, I guess, with the people, because you're local. But, I don't know. So, anyways, that's just, an off topic. By the way, if anybody has anything to say, you can feel free to call in at 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You don't have to talk about politics. We can talk about just about anything you want to do. But yeah. One second here. Sorry, I was taking a drink. Okay. Like I said, I mean, I don't know that the... I guess we're going back now, but I don't know that the Pentagon accepting $130 million to pay for military funding was great. I think that they, you know, probably could have done that some other way, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I do believe at one point in time they've used, unclaimed funds to pay people with things like that. But I don't really understand exactly what all unclaimed funds are. I don't know. But they use unpaid funds to do things sometimes because, I guess, they're unclaimed people. I mean, nobody knows who they belong to, I suppose. But, also, I just saw this, that Trump is getting ready to meet with Xi Jinping. I guess it says 3-country sprint in Asia. So I guess he's going to 3 different countries. But he's going to meet Xi Jinping as one of them. I think meeting Xi Jinping is always interesting. I mean, we have the tariff war going on right now, so I wonder if anything happens with that. But, I mean, he's also now gone, not here in the United States, where, the country is shut down, so that's not very great. I don't know. But, by the way, I would like to mention that, there was a prime minister race in Canada. It ended up not too long ago, but Mark Carney did win. I can't think of the other guy's name. But he is the, I guess, the liberal candidate. But there was also Pierre Poilievre. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Poilievre, I think. But anyways, he was making waves at one point in time. But I guess he took a lot of criticism for being too Trump-like. But yeah, no. I mean, we also talked about it was brought up that last hour we talked about the whole League of Women Voters Candidates Night. That was, you know, good. Went better than I expected it to. There was a lot of the people showed up. Not only, I guess, less than half of the people who signed up to run for Charter Commission were there in attendance, but there were people who left, reasonings as to why. But there were also people who did not. I do believe the mayor has did not tell them why he wasn't going to be there, or that he wasn't going to be there, because they had a spot for him. Same with Mark Russell. Jason Schauber wasn't there, but I do believe he said he was sick. I'm sure I'm forgetting some people. Ralph Prater wasn't there, but he was the city council, not Charter Commission. But yeah, there's certainly people that weren't there. But there was a lot of, Ben Weber. He was at the event. We got to talk to him for a minute. And then technical difficulties, so we didn't get to talk to him at the end like I wanted to. But nonetheless, it was good. The Amy Acton interview went well. I thought she did, she did fine, I guess. There seems to be some conclusion that she, I don't know, I think she did good, I suppose. But, it seems like all the stories that she told, I had probably read about. But I don't think that, we did get the fact that she and, her and DeWine still talk. Still, I don't want to say they're close, but they still talk. Which I find to be rather fascinating. And also, there was a good point brought up, I think, in the morning shows. Gosh, I have hiccups. That should Amy Acton, or I guess that should Mike DeWine have really thought that Amy Acton was, pulling the wool over his eyes and, brainwashing, as I think it was Adam said. I don't think that. I mean, they'd still talk. So there's that. But even if, I don't know. I mean, she can't make anything unilateral move. She doesn't have that power. So I don't know. I mean, I think she did. She did well. I mean, she answered the questions, I suppose. I would like to hear from Vivek again, personally. I won't lie to you. I'd like to hear from both of them again. I think more is always better than less. But I think I've said before that I want Tim Ryan to get into the race. He is, he's the only candidate with experience. Originally, Frank LaRose was thinking about running, and Dave Yost, I think, did run for a little bit, but then, Vivek Ramaswamy quickly ate all the support, so he had to get out of the race. Heather Hill was in the Republican race, but she has since dropped out, and I think she's picking a different ticket to run. No experience with Vivek, no experience with Amy Acton, no experience. I don't know Heather Hill's background all that well, I won't lie to you, but I don't believe she has any experience, at least not at the state level of government. Perhaps, school board or something. But, Tim Ryan has been in the government around for a while. Also, Sherrod Brown running again against Husted. He is up in the polls, but the polls are very close. Like, I think it's 48-49. So, that's, you know, just about a dead heat, 50-50. But same thing with the AMIAC and Vivek Ramaswamy. I expect Vivek Ramaswamy to do better, though, when the actual elections take place. Because I'm not sure who they pull or how they pull people, but I think if you asked just, you know, 10 random people who they'd vote for if the election was today and they gave you an answer, how many of those 10 people are actually going to vote come election day? So, I don't know. But, anyways, like I said, I think it's interesting nonetheless. But Amy Acton is in the Bowling Green pool, at least, only 3 points behind. I've looked at a couple of pools, and three to four seems to be the conclusion. I haven't seen her leading any, but I haven't seen her down by more than, I'll say five to be safe, but I do believe it's 3 and 4 points on most of them, if not all of them. So, you know, 5 points, 3 to 5 is the gap there. Which with a 3 point margin of error, so the 3 point margin of error is always good as far as that goes. Oh, also, there is one. I know it's, you know, football's a bit over at this point, but I did want to talk about the the potential firing of Mike McDaniels. I think Mike McDaniels, the Dolphins, like I said, they lost to the Browns horrendously. I mean, the score, they were both, you know, played terribly, or had been playing terribly, I guess. I mean, the Dolphins are 1-6. The Browns were, the Dolphins, they were both 1-5 teams come this, the game against the Dolphins. But, or the Browns. But the Dolphins lost 6-31, 25-point difference there. The Browns absolutely killed it. And by the way, the Browns didn't even play all that well. Dylan Gabriel was very accurate. I will not lie to you, 13-for-18, but only 116 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Quinshon Judkins did all the work, 25 carries for 84 yards. 3.4 average isn't the best, but, you know, he doesn't have much of a line. But 3 touchdowns is incredible. And Harold Fannin led the Browns for receiving, and Harold Fannin being the rookie tight end for the Browns. Now, with all that being said, Tua got benched at one point, and they put Quinn Ewers in. Quinn Ewers did not play he didn't play terribly. He didn't play a lot. He went 5-for-8 for 53 yards, but Tua went, you know, 12-for-23, so just above 50% for 100 yards and 3 interceptions. So I think benching Tua is honestly probably the move here. I mean, on 5 attempts, he had over half of Tua's, or Quinn Ewers being, he had over half of Tua's yards. And Devon Achain had a great 13 carries for 82 yards and a 6.3-yard average. So there's hope for the Dolphins, I think, but there's just a lot of holes and work that needs done, and it's rough. But I think that, personally, I think that Mike McDaniel should be fired. I hate to advocate for a man's job loss, but he's not a bad coach, so I think he'll get a coaching job somewhere else. He probably just won't get another head coaching chance immediately. But he might. I mean, you know, sometimes it's the team. Like, Bill Belichick was the coach for the Browns, and then he got fired and went on to be the one of the most winningest coaches of all time at the Patriots. But yeah, so I think Mike McDaniels, fair chance he gets fired, fair chance Tua gets moved on from, and, I'm excited to see how that whole thing plays out. Now, the Dolphins have said that they have no intention of changing up the front office, which is unfortunate. They should really consider changing up that front office, in my opinion, at least. I guess I don't own the team. But it's the same thing with the Browns. I don't know if I said it with the Browns or not. I've said it with some team last week, I do believe. I think that the Browns and the Dolphins, and the Titans, honestly. I don't know, the Titans don't seem to be doing great. And the Jets, Yeah, that's about all of them I can think of right now. I think all four of those teams should just hire their coach, their general manager, fire their coach, their general manager, and the GM. Now, sometimes the GM's the coach. Sometimes the GM doesn't exist and the owner makes all the calls. So, it changes. But I think that the Jets, the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Titans should fire their entire coaching staff, fire their entire front office, and start anew. You know, you can't be the worst team. I mean, like, as long as I've been around, the Jets, I mean, the best season the Jets have had that I can recall is 10-6, and they didn't even, I mean, not bad, but they didn't even make the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, at some point, you gotta make changes. I assume changes have been made, but, I mean, you know, if small changes aren't doing it, maybe it's time to just start anew for the NFL franchises. I would, like I said, fire everybody, hire a whole new coaching staff, whole new front office, and see what we could get done. But that's just me, I guess. People in real life tend to not like to play risky. I mean, even like the actual team, like if you have a bad offensive line, there are 5 offensive linemen, left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard, center, okay? And usually you change out one guard a year, or sorry, like one, or if you're going to change your offensive line, teams really don't like to change more than one or two offensive linemen at a time, because it could throw off the whole chemistry, I guess, of the offensive line, and timing and all the important things. So if you have a bad entire front five, I mean, it'll take, 3 to 4 years, maybe 5 years if your coach is really, weird about that kind of thing. But most likely 2 to 4, I guess, if you're really risky at 2. But people don't like to do that kind of thing. Unless you're the Bears. I think the Bears got 3 new offensive linemen this 3 new starting veteran offensive linemen this year, so they went out heavy in free agency. But yes. Also the Giants is one I'd fire man, look at me. I'm just out here firing coaches left, right, and center. I don't think Brian Daboll is great, but I have personal reasons for disliking Brian Daboll. I don't know. I guess they're not personal. I don't know the man personally, so. But, I don't know. Like, Jackson Dart gets hurt. He got put... If you get hit and you get up and you're kind of, like, dazed, you got to go into the concussion protocol, so you got to go into the blue tent, and the team doctor has to look at you. Brian Daboll put in Russell Wilson because Jackson Dart got hurt, and then Brian Daboll proceeded to chew out the team doctor, and then, like, I don't know, it just seems like he doesn't really have a care for the players on the team. But I mean, also Brian Daboll has to know he's on the hot seat. Like, I'm pretty sure this was the make or break year, or is going to be the make or break year for Brian Daboll. Which, fair enough, honestly. I think that's a good move. But, I mean, it's just rough. I mean, the Jets have a new head coach. He started 0-5, and he's probably 0-6 now at this point. The Jets fans hate it. Fair enough. I don't know what it is about New York football, but gosh, they just struggle. All the time. I mean, the Bills, I guess, aren't terrible. But Buffalo is probably the best bet, and they get beat by the Chiefs every year. They get bullied by the Chiefs. The Giants just get bullied by injury. I mean, Malik Nabers is out for the entire... Like, he's going to be hurt for the next, like, 30-some-odd weeks. And, well, I mean, I understand that the football season is less than that, but he's not going to be better until, next year. I mean, actually next year. So, there's that. I mean, he had a, I think, complete knee tear or something. I don't know. ACL tear, probably. But anyways, they just have things like that. You know, the Jets have always struggled as long as I can remember. They had Joe Namath at one point. I don't remember Joe Namath, you know, the Broadway Joe. But he's really only famous because they went to the Super Bowl. Joe Namath said that he can guarantee that they're going to win the Super Bowl. And then they won the Super Bowl. And, you know, people love that from Joe Namath. But that also sparked a whole conspiracy that the NFL was rigged because how did Joe Namath know that he was going to win? He didn't. He just said it because that's his whole thing. But he's really got, like, not the greatest stats of all time. Also, I don't know if I've ever brought this up on here before. I know I've kind of bounced around a lot. But I have such a disdain. I don't know. Disdain's a strong word. I don't really like, I guess is probably the best way to put it, the NFL Hall of Fame. I've never been to the NFL Hall of Fame. But, you know, it doesn't really sound all that appealing. Like, I'm not a baseball fan, but the Baseball Hall of Fame is more like a Hall of Fame, in my opinion. The NFL Hall of Fame, in my opinion, is more like a Hall of Very Good. It seems like if you were a good player at any point in your career, you're making it into the Hall of Fame. I mean, I think that, like, only absolute legends should be put into the Hall of Fame. Like, Tom Brady should go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, like, there's not many people who I think should go in undisputed, and there's just way too many first ballot Hall of Famers, and then they have, like, I mean, you could get in on, like, fourth ticket Hall of Fame, like, it's absurd. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people now who I think should be in the Hall of Fame who aren't. Like, I think that Chad Ochocinco, you know, Chad Johnson, I think that he should have gotten in there. I think he's 13th all-time, if I remember correctly, in receiving yards. And, I mean, you know, 13th all-time is, I mean, there's been a lot of receivers. So, I mean, there's that. But they didn't let him in. I don't know. So I'm also just biased, I guess. But, I don't know. I, like I said, I just think it's interesting. With that being said, there's about 6 minutes left of the show. If anybody has anything they'd like to say, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. We have talked about a lot of stuff tonight. You know, we haven't gotten to the fact that, we can do that real fast. Real fast, I guess. Let me give a rundown of everything we have talked about. We talked about the potential firing of Mike McCarthy, about how I think that, like, I don't know, at least 6 coaches in the NFL should be fired and their entire front offices should be started anew. Let's see here. Talked about the government shutdown. We haven't talked about halftime, but there's really nothing new to add, I don't think. I don't know. A lot of stuff. I did not even touch all of it, not even close. I don't know. Anyways, I don't have the Facebook post, but there was a post that was posted onto the Hey, speaking of the NFL Hall of Fame real fast, sorry, I know that I just cut myself off, but Robert Kraft and Ralph Hay are among 21 contributors advancing for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I do not know who Ralph Hay is. I will not lie to you. But, I think Robert Kraft probably belongs into the NFL Hall of Fame. I mean, he's an NFL owner, and I didn't know owners made it into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, that's interesting. But I think Robert Kraft deserves to get in. Bud Adams, he was the coach for the Houston Oilers back in the day. Or not the coach, the owner. And Chicago Bears owner Virginia McCaskey. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people. I did not know owners went in. By the way, Bill Belichick is among finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think Bill Belichick should probably get in. If they're going to let people in like that, I mean, why not? But personally, I mean, like I said, you should make it very, I like how the MLB Hall of Fame does it. Basically, you have to be perfect, right? I mean, no off-field problems. You can't have off-field problems like I just said, because I for some reason I feel the need to repeat myself a lot. You have to have longevity. You have to have persona. You don't have to have persona, because they rely a lot more on stats. Stats are like golden. You could be the most disliked player in all of baseball, but if you had a clean off-field record and incredible stats and incredible longevity, you're probably going to get in. because the baseball, the stats don't lie, and that's really how it should be. But I guess stats kind of do lie if you think. I don't know how it is in baseball, but in the NFL, back in the day, people getting into the Hall of Fame had, like, almost no... I mean, like, I don't know. Receivers were getting, like, I don't know, 5 receptions for, like, 13 yards. Like, very bad numbers. But they were incredible back in the day. Now, you know, you have people making 1,000-yard seasons and running backs with 2,000-yard seasons. But, So, I guess the game evolves, and then the numbers change, and things like that. But I do think that the NFL has become more of a lopsided game towards the offense. It seems like a lot of the flags that they throw, they only throw for the defense. Like, offensive pass interference, I feel, happens a lot more than what they call it. I mean, like, you're only allowed to push 5 yards off the line, but I swear they push, like, almost every play. Like, push off the defender. False starts don't happen all that much unless you're doing a tush push. I swear to you, every time there's a tush push, I see somebody get offsides. It just seems like they're trying to make the game high scoring so it can be more entertaining. But I think that football used to be more... Now, it used to be brutal back in the day. I will not lie to you. But at the same time... you know, you had to respect the person on the other side of the ball from you. I mean, like, if you were to throw the ball, like, when Ray Lewis played in Brian Dawkins, like, people like that, you know, the whole Legion of Boom, you know, you could, like, well, not the Legion of Boom, but, like, if you go back to, like, Ray Lewis and, like, Brian Dawkins, like, nowadays you're not allowed to hit a receiver when there's separation from them and the ball, because it's, you know, if the receiver's in the air trying to get the ball, you can't hit them because it's a defenseless receiver, and you can't hit them if there's separation because then it was, you know, unnecessary roughness. And back in the prime days of football, you could hit people if the ball was coming in their direction. Like, just lay them out. They were up, and they could be, like, you know, mid-jump, like, and, like, hanging in the air, grabbing the football, and then you were just supposed to absolutely blow them up. And they loved it. And you had to respect the person who was guarding. Like, I mean, like, Tom Brady said all the time that when he played the Ravens and he knew Ray Lewis was on the other side of the team, he never threw the ball to Ray Lewis because he was going to hurt somebody, and you don't want players getting hurt. So, like, Tom Brady respected the other side of the ball. But with that being said, we have 4 seconds left. I appreciate everybody for listening, and have a nice day.
You're listening to The Place and Talk. From Joey Diori at WG.